How's it going, my friend? You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 314.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on? What's going on, my friend? This is Alex again. And guys, I got a banging show for you today with my buddy, Joe Dillon. Guys, we get into, so just a heads up here, okay? This is probably, not probably, I want to say this is the longest podcast episode I've ever recorded on the Flip Empire Show. And I was, you know, after we recorded this thing, we just finished recording, I talked to Joe and we were going to split this up into two episodes because of the length, right? I think it's about, I don't know, an hour and 15 to an hour and a half, whatever it is. I want to highly encourage you to listen to this thing from start to finish because, by the way, I decided not to chop this up because I felt like it would lose some of the luster and the momentum. We cover so much. We go so deep with strategies, tactics on how Joe and his partner were able to scale and grow a seven-figure wholesaling operation across multiple markets. We get into hiring. We get into systems. We get into specific marketing channels, how often, what marketing channels, how often, what list, where to get the list. So we dive deep into content. So if you're a wholesaler, if you're a real estate investor looking to scale, you're looking to grow, you're looking to hire, build a team, you want more effective marketing, you want to ultimately make more money so that you can achieve more freedom in your life, listen to this show from start to finish. Now, having said that, even if you happen to have come across this show and you're not a real estate investor, you're thinking of getting started, whatever the case might be, we get into some spiritual talk. We talk about finding and following your purpose, your passion, what fulfills you, what gives you energy. We relate it to Joe's story. We get into his story and how he got to this place. I share, you know, some of my experiences. So it's such a... So many things we not just touched on, but got really, really deep on in this particular episode that, again, I decided I'd be doing you guys a disservice to break it up into two shows and two episodes. We decided to keep it as run, raw and uncut. So just a heads up, you know, Joe dropped some F-bombs. And so if that's something that just doesn't, you know, you just don't like that, I guess don't listen. But again, you know, he shared a lot of nuggets. Joe is just real and he comes from the heart. And so I encourage you to listen to this episode and then let me know your thoughts. I want you to share this. You know, if you get any value out of this, wait until the end, share it with your network, share it with a friend, share it with people, act as a funnel for quality content and information. You would be really helping me in reach more people. And that's what Joe and I are here for. We really want to help inspire and impact people's lives. That's why I do this show. And so guys, I'm excited. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. So let us dive right in. Here we go.
My man, Joe Dillon. What's going on, brother? What's up?
What's going on, man? Happy what? Wait, Tuesday. There you go.
So people are probably listening to this Monday. Who knows when they're going to listen to this? But yeah, man, I'm excited to have you on. I was just telling you before we hit the record here that, dude, I watch you on IG and Facebook. I got to raise my energy. I'm high energy and like you're taking it to another level.
Man, I mean, for me, it's just like, man, one, I've found a lot of energy, right? To kind of just, well, we hope we don't get too off topic here, but if you want to take it there, but basically like what I've found, man, is I've been able to really cultivate that energy, you know, with a lot of different things, but the first and foremost being like waking up with a true purpose, right? Really drives like your reason for being here. And then, you know, there's a couple of things I can mention them at the end of the video, but a couple of like biohacks and stuff that I do too, that to really, you know, take care of myself and take care of my energy. You know, you gotta live life with energy. You know what I'm saying?
I love it, dude. I feed off of that energy, man. You want to know what we're going to talk about? I want to talk about that. I want to talk about your purpose. But before we do that, because guys, today we're going to talk about how Joe was able to scale a seven-figure operation across multiple markets, something that not very many people that I know have been able to accomplish. Definitely what a lot of wholesalers appear to be striving for. But before we get into that, I always want to start by your story. Like, where'd you come from? How did you get involved in this business? And let's spend a little bit of time so that people have some context as to why they should be listening to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So I come from nothing. Okay. You know, I shared a bedroom, like one bedroom with like, my two brothers, pretty much all of my childhood, you know what I mean? Okay. We lived in a small apartment and, you know, we didn't really have money, but it never really seemed to bother me. I always had a positive mentality, even, you know, as a young kid. And you know, I'm so thankful for that because that, you know, carried over into my adult years. But, yeah, man. So, how I got started, you know, after college, I tried to do the job thing, that didn't work. And then, you know, because I've always been an entrepreneur at heart, you know, I've pretty much started three different businesses by the time I even, left college.
Okay.
And then, yeah, man. And then, after that, you know, after college, I had a job and, you know, I wasn't really feeling it. And so I started flipping cars. Okay. And then when I was flipping cars. Yeah, man. Oh my God. Flipping cars sucks.
Dude, I imagine the margins on those things have to be pretty slim, right?
Bro. Yeah, man. You're talking about like you put way more work in, you know, to flip a car than you do in wholesaling a house.
Right.
And you know, like sweat, labor and shit. And so, and you only make like, you know, 1500, 2500, 300, 3000 is a good one.
Okay.
So yeah, man. So I'll find them on Craigslist. I had a partner that I was doing that with. And then we were basically like, it's kind of like comp analysis, right? Like we would see, look at the market and we would see like, any underpriced properties, underpriced cars, we would hit them up, get them on an appointment, and then boom, knock them down with negotiation skills. So it's very much the same game. And so with a partner, and then we happened to be cleaning this one car in this house, right? He was staying at this house, and then at that house is where I met the partner that I built that company with. So he was already wholesaling houses and he told me what he was doing. And I was like, oh wow. Like that sounds awesome. You know, I was intrigued, right? But you know, I was still flipping cars. So I was doing my thing. Anyways, hopped into it. About 6-8 months later, we kept like running into each other and, you know, basically he explained the vision. I was like, wow, like this sounds awesome. This is what I can bring to the table. Boom, boom, boom. We ended up like really being a good yin and yang and we completely exploded it, you know? And, so we started out in DC, we were still like cold calling like crazy, driving for dollars, you know, the whole grind. Right. We ended up, closing a deal. And then we basically took a step back to systemize the business, which I think that's what we did right starting from the get-go. But even so, I mean, there's still a lot of things that we had to learn. So like there was a period of like 4 or 5 months that went by. We didn't get any deals. And you know how that is. And
I want to kind of pause and jump in for a second because, man, I've experienced that. There's so many people that listen to the show that they're what I call this income deal roller coaster, right? They have some big months, they have some good months, and it falls off. You just alluded to the fact that, you know, you guys knew what you were doing and you just went 4 or 5 months without a deal. Talk a little bit about that deal inconsistency. What do you attribute that to? How do people get over that hump? Because again, man, that's something that we experience from time to time. We've learned from it. You know, my opinion is that a lot of it has to do with not keeping the marketing faucet going. You know, but what are your thoughts on people that ride that deal inconsistent roller coaster, the revenue roller coaster? How did you guys get over that hump?
Yeah, man. So here's the thing, right? We kind of did it at the time. I wish that we had the knowledge that, you know, that we had now, let's say, for example, right? Because then it would have been like, all right, we know how to do this. We know how to target it. Boom.
Yeah.
To be honest, like I would probably say it was a little bit of luck, right? like our bank account was going down, and like, you know, we kind of at the last minute, we hit a nice, you know, we hit a nice, what, 70 grand deal, I believe it was. Okay. And basically that deal came from a targeted list. So basically what I would say is, like, if you're in that space, like, you want to target, right? Like, if you're having inconsistency and you're not a big business, you don't have a team, you don't have a lot of manpower, you don't have a lot of leverage, right? Because you need leverage in a business, right, to multiply your efforts. But if you don't have a lot of leverage, then you need to be very selective on what you're spending your time on.
True.
And so that being said, you need to be very targeted. You need to be cost effective and you need to be targeted. Now, it's a different story if you're having inconsistency and you do have a team, right? In the general sense, like what we did, you know, we targeted a zoning list to where that zoning code could build more on the property than what already existed. But the thing is, most of the homeowners, at least at that time, didn't really know that. So there was a huge opportunity to make plenty of upsides, and that's where the six-figure deals come in.
Well, man, I can co-sign on that, because one of our biggest deals to date, a six-figure wholesale deal, was a single-family house in a commercially zoned area. It's got a higher and better use, so you're going to be able to command a premium. Love the fact that you said that, because sometimes people reach out and they're like, is it really possible to close six-figure wholesale deals? I'm like, absolutely, but you got to find a higher and better use. You know, what's the best intended use for that property? So love the fact that you said that. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So like I said, man, to be honest, it was a little bit of luck, because we didn't have any structure. We didn't have any systems. I mean, we had a little bit of systems, but like, dude, like, we were legit like cold calling with our cell phones, you know, like we wanted to use.
You guys were cold calling before cold calling was even a thing, it sounds like.
Yeah, we pretty much put it on the map, to be honest, which it's kind of crazy to think about it, even just like 4 years ago and now. Maybe a little bit, almost 5 years ago now. But yeah, but like now, like that's like cold calling is everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, it's cold calling. So, but that's one of the other things. Like, if you're a new investor, actually, whatever type of investor you are, even very experienced investors, you want to get where other people are not. You want to do what other people are not doing, because that's where you're going to find a lot of the gold, right? And so there are plenty of ways, which I can allude to a little bit later, but there are plenty of ways, even in today's market, to get to where other investors are not.
All right. Well, man, hold on to that, because I want to talk about that stuff when we get to the marketing. But
for sure.
So you guys, by the way, I don't really believe in luck. I think it's that saying, you know, when preparation meets opportunity, right? But nevertheless, that's the beauty of this business, Joe, is that one deal can correct a lot of mistakes, right? I mean, you were basically talking about your guys' bank account was shrinking. You popped off a 70K deal, and it sounds like that was kind of the springboard to the success that you guys achieved from there.
For sure, man. So like, okay, I'm so glad you said that, by the way. I believe in that. And actually, I posted that exact thing on my status probably like a few months ago. So yeah, I don't believe luck exists either. You know, it's just where preparation meets hard work, right? I'm sorry, where preparation meets opportunity. Like we were just consistent. Like we were consistent. Like we were cold calling every single day, right? I believe we're sending out, you know, a few pieces of mail, right? Maybe like a few thousand. We were just consistent with it. You know what I mean? And we knew that there was that it was coming, right? I'm sure we probably stepped over a deal or two because, you know, we were still, you know, young in our experience, and we probably misanalyzed properties. We probably pushed away some deals, some sellers, right? Just because of maybe our lack of sales skills and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure we pushed away deals. So, but when we stepped back, we systemized the business. You know, after a while, like, we got smart, we hired mentors, we read business books on how to structure the business. Traction, honestly, was massive for us.
Love it, man.
Right? And that's why I teach that, like, so now, and I'll get to that part of the story, but basically I help other wholesalers and investors explode their and scale their current business. And traction is the first thing I go over, right? Because that's really the thing that provided us with the structure to scale, because you simply can't scale a business that's not structured. If you do, you're going to end up without money, right? And you're going to end up tearing your hair out because they're going to be doing a million different things.
It's a house of cards, man. Without structure, you don't have a business, right? I wish I would have learned that as quickly as you guys did. It wasn't until about 2 years ago that we implemented EOS. So 100%. Changer. You guys definitely need to read Gino Wickman's Traction, 100%.
For sure, man. And I would say, like, if you are, you know, if you're just getting started, if you haven't closed a deal yet, maybe traction is not as important for you. But if you have time, if you have the capacity to do so. So I always say, like, if you have, you know, four to 5 months of monthly expenses in the account, then, you know, you can afford to take a step back. Right? What I like to call it, I tell all my clients this, take 3 steps back to take 10 steps forward, you know. And, the stages of scaling your business is often like that, right? But that's the point of getting it to a level where it's consistent, right? So where, you know, you don't have to worry about that, right? And it's automated and it's running for you and it's running without you eventually.
You know what's really interesting? So, as I listen to your story, I think it's somewhat counterintuitive for people that might be listening to the show right now to think that once you popped off a 70K deal, the natural tendency, I think, for a lot of people is to just go, like keep running. But you guys were very strategic and you said, now's an opportunity for us to, you know, use some of this capital so that we can, like you said, hit the pause button, reset, take a few steps back so that you can kind of like a slingshot, go all the way out there and start scaling your business. And I think I want to kind of highlight that because for a lot of people, that might seem counterintuitive. They might seem, hey, now's the time we have momentum, let's capitalize and go. But it sounds like you guys were just very strategic about the fact that you knew you needed structure, systems, and processes to really grow the business.
100%. Now, don't get me wrong. We still didn't know what the hell we were doing.
I get it.
Have you ever seen the entrepreneurial meme? It's like, oh, I'm doing great. Oh, I fucking suck. Oh, man, is there anything going on?
Yes, I can relate.
Yeah. But like, you know, you and I both know, like, we wouldn't have it any other way, right? Like,
right.
You know, I'd much rather create my own, my own journey. You know? So, anyway, so kind of fast forward, and you know, I'll kind of keep the story. I'll finish off the story here. But basically, we still made a lot of hiring errors, right? I remember there was this one time that, you know, we did the people analyzer test.
Yep.
Which is in Traction. We plotted out our core values, right? Plotted out the people in the business, and boom, immediately, like night and day, it was so easy to see that someone didn't belong in the business, in the organization. And, you know, we actually took action, and that person was out of business that following week. And yeah, it's crazy how vital people are to your business. It is everything.
Everything. You took the words out of my mouth.
Everything. Everything. Like you can have decent processes with phenomenal people and you'll be way better off than if you had phenomenal systems with decent people.
Could not agree with you more. I've always said, Joe, I don't know if you agree with this. I think a bad hire is worse than no hire because the time, energy, resources it takes to onboard that person. And it's that bad apple syndrome, man. You have somebody that's not in alignment with your core values, the purpose of your business, the culture, the environment. Dude, it'll torpedo that ship in a heartbeat.
100%, man. 100%. Like, you can have 5 positive people in a room, and then 1 negative person can drag everybody down.
That's the energy. You
know? Yeah, man. And in addition, like, not only that, but what are they costing you? What's the opportunity cost, right? A lot of people look at the actual cost, but the biggest cost is the opportunity cost, right? And that's why you have to have vision and you have to really see what you're actually losing.
Yeah.
Right? Because you might not just be losing, okay, I'm paying this person 5K a month and you maybe lose 20K over 4 months. Okay, actually, you lost the 150,000 that they could have got in 4 months.
Yep.
That they only got 30,000, for example, right? And so that's the major cost. So, like, if there's one thing to never cheap out on, it's people. Okay.
So, people are worth, right?
Absolutely. So at the time, like, we didn't have, you know, everybody was on commission, right? And that simply just wasn't really that sustainable. And so, like, we started to hire people on hourly, and we got the caliber of people that we would if we're getting hourly people, right? And so we had our, like, mistake year, what we called it. And then we still made money, right? We hit 7 figures in 2015. And you know, that next year, we pretty much made the same amount. We call that our mistake year. And then we really started to scale it after that, because we got our core group of people. I remember when we got our core group of people, it was, you know, it was a game changer. And it was like, it feels so refreshing, like having someone very solid on your team that is on your side, rowing the boat in the same direction, like the guy from Five Dysfunctions of a Team says. That's so refreshing, especially after you've had, like, very subpar people.
Yeah, you know? No doubt, man. Sometimes, though, I have people that ask me, you know, when they start hiring and building a team, they realize that there's a whole nother level to when it comes to leadership and management. They said, you know, I can't seem to hold this person accountable immediately. And I didn't always know this. You wanna hold people accountable, hire people that are accountable to themselves. When I got that, when a mentor told me that, and I started to put, like, what's this guy, Jim Collins from Good to Great, talks about putting the right people on the right bus in the right seat. It's a total game changer, man. Like you said, you breathe a sigh of relief, and you have that freedom to know that things are going to operate the way they should. When you have people that hold themselves accountable, are adults, and are going to just make it happen in that role, you know?
For sure. So, like, you know, let's talk specifics here, right? Because I'm sure people want to know specifics, right? So how do you get good people? How do you find good people? First of all, how do you know when it's a good time to hire, right? And these are things that I teach my clients, you know, and there's a science to it, right? So the first person, okay, as far as delegation goes, you want to delegate. You need to think of yourself, like, that's why it all comes back to mentality. You need to think of yourself very high level, okay? And you should almost not allow yourself to perform low-level tasks.
Agreed.
Okay? So you should always be thinking, okay, should I be doing this? And if I have to do it right now, cool. How can I hire somebody to replace me to do this for me, right? Delegation. Mm-hmm. And so you delegate the lowest level menial tasks, time-consuming tasks first. All right. So I always tell my clients the first person you should hire is a VA, right? Because, you know, anything to do with Excel sheets, property list manager, stacking your lists, I want all of that to be automated, because even though it's important, it's very important, it's simple and it's time consuming. So you need to delegate that. Okay. You have to learn how to let go. Okay. So when you know it's time, all right, well, a VA is not really expensive, so you can probably hire them, like, anytime, honestly, to be honest. You know, four bucks an hour, you can find one. We found one for $3 an hour, and she stayed with us for like 3 years. You know, actually, she's still there. She's still there today, I believe. So definitely hire a VA, okay? And then any menial, so if you're cold calling, right, I would hire a cold caller. I'd delegate that as soon as possible as well. And the reason is because it's a low-level task, because you're on the phone with for maybe hours before you get a lead, right? Well, what is that? Is that, how much is that really worth, right? That's not really worth that much. Whereas if you're handling warm leads, that's a lot higher level of a task than trying to fish for cold leads, okay? So, you know, it's just that order of delegation that you got to just keep in your mind. And then understanding, like, the big picture and saying, all right, who do I have to delegate right now? So I always say VA and cold caller. Then your first key hire should be your lead manager or acquisition specialist, whatever people want to call it, because that's very time consuming. Now, that is a very valuable task. It's time consuming. So I always teach my clients to, like, I have a regimen to where, you know, the lead manager will take on more and more tasks as they get more and more experienced. Uh-huh.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, because since we're getting into the detail here, which is really, really good. You talked about hiring a VA $3 an hour. Cold caller, what are you thinking? $8 to $12 an hour, more or less?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of services out there now. A lot of people don't like the Philippines. I would say I agree with that. You can still find good cold callers in the Philippines. We had a great one that she was actually our best cold caller. I think girls are better than guys in the general sense, cold callers. And the reason for that is because immediately, like, you have your guard up when you receive a cold call, and your guard is not as high when it's a woman on the other side, right? So it's just, you know, understanding psychology is huge in this business and in any business mm-hmm. in general. If you can understand psychology, you'll be successful, I promise. So, so basically, there's a lot of other services as well. You know, I'm a big fan of Latin American callers as well, because they understand more of the culture. And you know, you can get some companies that, that they used to live in the States, stuff like that, right. You know, deportees and things like that, of that nature. You can, you know, Outbounders, for example, you can look at, they have cold callers, I think all over the world, but they definitely have some in Latin America that you can hire.
So lead manager, what were you typically, that was also an hourly person. What were you paying your lead manager?
Just ballpark. Well, we started off as hourly. All right. So we started off as hourly, and you know, we didn't really get good people. So then we switched it to a salary plus commission. Okay. So, you know, I think a great, you know, salary is, you know, depends on your market. But if you're in a high price, high cost of living market, probably $3,000 a month plus 7%, right? If you're in a low, you know, a low cost of living area, you can probably get away with 2, right? So 2 plus 7. But I found
you're speaking specifically for people that are, because I remember your model is doing deals on the phone, right? You didn't actually send an acquisition person face to face.
Sometimes we did, because, like, you know, it's still, like, you know, a high portion of the deals are going to be on the phone, but a small portion of the deals are going to be for sure still in person, you know. Okay. Like, I think if you're not doing it in person, you're definitely losing out on some deals. You know, it's possible to do all virtual, but I think you're going to be losing out, you know, on some deals.
What was the key to you guys making that? Because some of the mastermind groups I'm in, that's been a topic of conversation the last year or so, is transitioning from, you know, going seller, you know, face to face to doing more phone, because it's just more scalable. You know what I mean? What was the key to your guys' success in doing more deals on the phone? Was it having the right person on the other end of that line? What was it about it? Because, dude, I'll be honest with you, in our market, we've had some success with it, but we haven't really been able to scale it the way that you guys have. We've been more, we haven't, you know, on the boots guy, acquisition guy that goes and meets with the sellers. But sometimes we got to deal with canceled appointments and no shows and things of that nature, you know, and dude, 2, 3, or 4 appointments sucks up his entire day. Versus if we have deals on the phone, you could bang it out a lot quicker. So what was the key to your guys' success when it comes to, you know, doing deals on the phone?
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, there's a few factors, right? One is, you know, the deal analysis, right? Now, here's the thing, right? What we would do is we would really, like, target, like, we would look at the comparables, and we would usually target, you know, investor heavy areas. So there's a lot of investor activity. So we would see, okay, what's the ARV comps and what are people buying properties for in that area? Like, so we would look into an ARV comp and we would see what that investor bought that ARV comp if it's a comparable property. But also look at cash comps in the area to really get a gauge of, you know, a gauge of what investors are paying for in that area. Boom, that immediately gives us a really good picture of what we can pay for the property. And you know, that's number one. Number two is just, it's all scripting thing, man. It's all scripting, and it's just understanding your market, understanding how to make a seller comfortable with selling on the phone, and actually putting it as a positive. So something like, you know, let's say you agree on the price, but something, you know, something along the lines of, hey, you know, we can actually get this done right over the phone, and from the comfort of your own home. You know, I know this area very well. And so I already know what we can buy this property for. By any chance, do you have access to your email right now? And then, you know, you shoot them over the agreement on your email, on their email. And then you go over the contract line by line with them, you know, and then you just doctor sign it over to them. And so it, to be honest, it's not as hard as people might think, right? And it's really what I've found, because I've encouraged a lot of my clients to shift their gears and start to do more of some of the phones, is it's really a mental block that they have to get over, right? And it's just a switch in the scripting.
Got it. And you guys find that obviously on the phone, how deep is, you know, like a lot of the people I've worked with, I've recommended John Martinez's sales training. So when we're, you know, face to face at a seller's house, like my acquisitions guy is going deep with that person, right? Problem, impact, picture perfect. I mean, we're using all the tools, right? You guys still use that on the phone, or are you keeping it, I don't want to say surface level, but are you still going pretty
deep? No, 100%, dude. 100%, we're still doing that over the phone. 100%, man.
Got it.
So like, we're getting deep if it allows for it, right? And so like, I have restructured the script. So it's like, you're spending time on the people that are worth spending time on, right? And then if they're worth spending time on, you go deep with them, mm-hmm. you know? And so like, you know, we had sellers that are crying to us. We have sellers that are, you know what I mean? Like just really, really develop that rapport. And it is possible. Now, I fully believe there's no replacement for in-person, but it's absolutely possible to build an operation to where you're doing mostly virtual deals, right? And so for the ones that are in person, you just have a boots on the ground person there, right? So kind of to finish off that story. So we found a core group of people and we really started to expand out. And so we expanded out to different markets. We moved the operation down here to Tampa. Employees, you know what I mean, brought everybody down here and really just started to scale it out, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were, you know, hitting, you know, four different markets, man. And you know, it's just,
as you guys started to scale, I'm assuming like you had, cause so many people talk about top line rev and I don't hear too many people talking about what they're actually making. What are you taking home? Right. And so don't get me wrong, dude. I'm not like crapping on, you know, top line rev. That's important. But at the end of the day, if you have 5, 10, 15% profit margins, that's not super healthy. Right. So as you grow and scale, talk about the importance of making sure that you have healthy margins, that a lot of it is trickling down to the bottom line and you're not top line heavy.
100%, man. And I'm glad you bring this up because, dude, there's so many people, like all people talk about is top line rev, right? Honestly. Like, okay. If you read the book Profit First, have you read that book, by the way?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Love it. All right. And for those of you that are listening, for those of you that read that book, that's a phenomenal book on how to structure your finances, how to structure your accounts. There you go. Boom. How to structure your accounts. Yeah. I actually created an extra one. So I have a tithing account, right?
Love it.
Yeah, man. So I'm actually, I'll go into that after, but I actually like, okay, there's this great book, the real quick aside tangent, great book called Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity.
Keep going while you're doing that. Cause I got something for you, but keep going.
Okay. So it talks about the importance of in that book of tithing and basically giving back to the universe, giving back to God, like whatever your spiritual beliefs are. And at first I wanted to give 10% back of just like we were talking about, Alex, I want to give 10% back of net. And then I ran into the freaking question in the book and the frequently asked questions. And then she's like, really what you need to do is be giving 10% of gross. And I'm like, oh shit.
Watch this. So I have a bookshelf here. I was going to grab it, but I think it's at home. Absolutely love that book. Check this out, dude. So about 4 years ago, I had been tithing. So I had been tithing off of 10% of gross for like ever since 2009-10, I think is when I really got serious about it. And then in 2012-13, I talked to a couple guys that were like, no, we tithe off the net. So I switched and I'm like, oh, okay. That's a little bit less of a tithe, but something felt off, man. And I talked to my coach. And I said, hey, man, I'm conflicted. Like, should I be tithing off of gross or net? And he goes, look, God's not judging you. There's no right or wrong. But here's the question I'll pose. He goes, do you want to be blessed off of gross or do you want to be blessed off of net? When he asked me that question, like, I got my answer, like, enough said. So anyway, man, not to get off.
That's big, dude. I love it. I love it. That's big, man. But you know what? Also, that just shows astounding faith. That shows incredible faith. And whatever your beliefs are, like, faith is absolutely vital. It's absolutely important to have faith, you know, in a higher power, in God, in the universe, in your abilities, in your future, right? And you're establishing that faith when you tithe 10% of gross. You're really tithing that faith. And so anyway, so back to Profit First. So in that book, he says, okay, well, if you have an agent, like a real estate agent business, right? And, you know, we all know, like, agent businesses are terribly unprofitable. At least a good portion of them are. And you know, you're making $1 million to the top line, but your expenses are $900,000. You don't have $1 million business. You have a $100,000 business. That's what he says. And so, like, the bottom line is crucially important, right? So important. And so here's what I – here's, like, a metric that – that I consistently saw on a scaled basis that really worked. Okay. And if you're staying below these numbers, then you usually should be pretty profitable.
Okay.
All right. So out of all your gross rev, you know, I call it the 20, 30, 20. So 20%, okay, on marketing, right? 20% or less, okay, on marketing. 30%. On labor, right? 30% or less on labor. That includes paying yourself. And then 20% or less on everything else, which is G&A, what we called it. So systems, coaching, seminars, right? Rent, everything else, literally everything else. Because labor and marketing are your two biggest expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're talking about 30% profit margins, right? If my math is wrong, 20%.
No. Yeah. So that's minimum 30%. So 30%, guys, on a scaled basis, if you're out of the majority of the operations, right, which we were, that's really where you want to be, minimum, 30% plus. And that's a very healthy business. Like a 30% profit margin on a scaled, you know, corporate level, that's a healthy business, right? Now, a lot of guys that I run into, they're like, oh, man, like, you know, I'm at like 60% right now and they're a one man show. Well, I'm like, all right, well, what's your cap? And they're like, oh, I can't pass like 200,000 or 300,000. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. You know,
but when you scale, it's going to get tougher to remain profitable. And that's the key, right?
Well, the fact of the matter is it's going to decrease. Like your profitability will decrease as you scale, but your bottom line will and should be increasing. Right. And so the way to do that is just consistently analyzing your marketing. So I talk about four phases of marketing. So planning, right? It's implementation, right? Then there's tracking, and then there's analysis, okay? So you got to analyze so you can understand what's working, what's not working. So you cut off the fat, you trim the fat, you understand what's working, double down on what's working so that you're more cost effective, right? And that's how you will keep your marketing costs down and still retain, you know, a really, really healthy top line. Yep. In addition to that, you want to make sure that your people are being fully utilized. So there was a long period of time where I'm like, you know, I don't think we're being super efficient. I don't think our people are being super efficient. So, I mean, we were probably at about 50 to 60% utilization rate. Like, and most people are operating at like a, you know, probably around that rate, sometimes even less.
So can you elaborate a little bit on that? When you say you don't feel like they were, like you guys were properly utilizing them, is that because they had too much capacity or because they were just weren't being efficient with what they were doing?
Yeah, they weren't being efficient with what they were doing. So like, you know, it's so important to create a culture and as soon as you onboard a new employee, create that culture to where in Good to Great, right? Uh-huh. Actually, no, in the book Multipliers, they talk about creating an environment that demands your best work, but to balance that, it's like, it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So you demand your best work, but it's okay to make mistakes, and you create that balance of an environment, and people thrive in that environment, and people want to work harder. And so, but in addition to that, just implementing KPIs, right? Tracking KPIs for your people and making sure that, that they're being fully utilized. Right.
Yeah.
Cause we would constantly, like it was constantly a topic of conversation. Like we would, check in to the employer, monitoring, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we would find people on their phones. We would find people just kind of slacking off here and there. And that's just going to come naturally. But it's just really important to, again, reemphasize the vision of the company, consistently meet with employees and see what their vision is and if they're aligned.
Yep.
And then if all that's good, tracking their KPIs, coaching them, right? Coach like a leader, right? And ask questions, okay?
You have to invest in
yourself. That's the best investment that you can make.
Yeah.
Because even on a business level, the sooner that you do that, the sooner that you can move on to really doing other things, growing the business, working on strategy, looking on new markets, right? And things like that. So, I would say 30% plus, at least 30%, right? That's a good number for you to be at after paying yourself.
Okay.
That's after paying yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're paying ourselves, healthy six-figure salaries. So.
Okay. Fair enough. Let me ask you this, man. Before we get into the marketing, because you started to kind of touch on it with the four phases of marketing. How important do you think, and you want to, so somebody listening that wants to go into multiple markets, they really want to scale this operation, right? How important do you think having a physical HQ office, physical location versus, like, would you guys have been able to scale it if you worked from home, your partner worked from home? Like, if you guys were all virtual and you didn't have an office, my suspicion is the answer is going to be yes. But what are your thoughts on virtual versus having an office type environment?
For sure. I actually was just talking about this with this is a hot topic for sure, because I mean, people want the business, but then they also want the lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And so here's my take on that. I think it's a personal preference. I think both can be done. I know people that have offices, they're thriving. I know people that that have virtual and virtual offices, and they have a team of like six to eight, and they're also doing well. I think having an office will get you better financial results. And along with higher retention, because there's a culture there. There's a physical place. There's a physical culture. There's energy that's exchanged between the employees, team members, right? And the other thing that I would say is, it actually could even be potentially worse, right? I'm a big fan of like, there's no absolute, right? There's no absolute.
I like that.
So it could be worse. Because you could create too fun of an environment, and then people are not productive. Whereas if people are working from home by themselves, they're just locked in.
Yeah.
So I think that either is possible. It depends on your preferences. Like I said, I know a few guys that are doing it virtual. I mean, Gabe's operation was pretty much virtual, right?
Yep. Actually, him and I went to dinner for his birthday, I don't know, a month or so ago, and he was talking about the fact that he feels like they need an office environment.
He's transitioning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a great friend of both of ours, Gabe Garcia, but yeah, he was, me and him were talking, and I think he was, because he spoke at my last two events.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's a great friend.
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah,
Obi.
Yeah.
He's an awesome dude, man. And very great friend. And he's transitioning to an office because, yeah. I mean, that does a lot. You know what I mean? I also have a couple buddies out in Texas, and one of them lives in Tulum. Chris Arnold.
Yeah.
So they also run a virtual operation.
Yep.
And, they're doing well too. So.
Awesome.
But I'm not sure. I haven't talked to them in a little while since I think I talked to them maybe like a few months ago.
Yeah.
But I think that they're, I'm not sure if they're going to transition or not, but I know that they were running a successful virtual operation.
Got it. So, dude, as we start to kind of wind down here, man, marketing, what are you seeing? You know, the hot topic, man, is there's, you know, the ringless voicemails, and obviously cold calling has been in effect for the last couple of years, and you have text message marketing, direct mail. You know, we're experiencing compressed response rates, cost per deal, cost per lead is rising. What are you suggesting? What are you seeing is working with the people that you're, you know, not just from your experience in your previous company, but, you know, working with clients now? Talk to me about marketing as far as certain channels, frequency, how often, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And for those of you who are listening and you're not sure what we're talking about, just to kind of finish the story, I we hosted an event about 3 years ago. That event really changed me because I was able to really pour into people's lives, to really change their lives and really show them kind of the operation that we had built. And that was really life-changing for a lot of people. And people still talk about that event to this day. And so that generated something in me where, like, I wanted to do that. Right. And so a long story short, fast forward a little bit, you know, earlier, the later portion of last year, I ended up selling my ownership, really, really giving the nutshell version of this story, but I ended up selling my ownership of the business and pursuing what I really wanted to do full time, which was coaching. And so I could not feel more blessed for where I am. It was a hard decision for sure. Very hard decision. And, it was definitely a huge, huge learning moments in my life. But, you know, God definitely blessed me like crazy. And, you know, just I've really been helping a lot of clients just explode their business. So right now I specialize in helping existing wholesalers and investors, you know, that have maybe been in the business for a little while, maybe a few years. Most of them have been in the business for a few years,
yeah,
and they have hit a wall and they want to know how to scale. And so I come in and I teach them everything, the structure, the systems, the processes, the strategies, the micro, the macro, everything, right? The CRM, right? Like literally every little aspect of the business. And I've been helping like over 50, businesses just explode since last year.
That's amazing. Hats off to you. I want to recognize you for, so you and I recently connected. I want to say this was during Grant Cardone's 10X Growth Con, right? At 1-800, our good mutual friend, Chris Chico, put on like a meetup out there. You and I connected, man. It was like an instant connection, dude. We had known about each other. And so, man, I want to just acknowledge you for, because it seemed like that was, I can tell the gravity of that decision, right? You going off and doing your own thing and kind of following your heart, your passion. And I can sense that energy and that vibe about you, man, that you seem to be in a really good place. And it seems like that was very difficult to kind of go through that process. What was, from what you can share, knowing what you know now, anything you can share with people that was a big takeaway or learning lesson from it doesn't even have to be about that experience, but just kind of following your passion, following your heart, doing what you feel you're put on this earth to do. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that before we start to wind down here?
Yeah, bro. I can talk for days about this, man. yeah, man. So like one, I truly feel like when you find what strikes that chord in your heart, don't ignore it. Mm. Okay. Don't ignore that shit. Like that's like the universe trying to talk to you and saying, hey, pay attention. This is what you need to do. Right. Or at the very least, like you should do more of this. You should explore it at the very least. And so, I realized that, man. And also, you know, like I was in an environment that didn't necessarily serve me. Okay. And it wasn't until I developed a supreme sense of self-respect and self-love that I realized that I couldn't be in that environment anymore. And I took the freaking action as hard as it was.
Yeah.
And the universe rewarded me for that. Right. it literally rewards you when you take action and when you have faith and you take action in what you're trying to do, especially when there's a strong purpose involved and you really want to help other people. And so what I would say for people, anybody listening to this, is like, if you find yourself in an environment that doesn't serve you, and the thing is, like, that can be so subjective, right? There can be two people that, like, neither of them is necessarily wrong, but then maybe they're not the best fit for each other, you know? And actually they're probably better off, you know, separately, right? Like, my parents were like that, you know what I mean? And so, and I was happy, you know, for them individually, right? It was sad, but I was happy individually, like, when they got divorced. But, you know, sometimes two energies just don't, mesh well, but alone they might thrive, right? And so actually, like, they're crushing it right now, and I'm happy for them. You know, when I left, like, they still continued to, you know, to soar, and so they're crushing it, and, you know, so I'm happy for them, man. But, like, what I would say, man, is just life's fucking short, dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
Short, like, and anybody listening to this, I want to tell you four strong words.
What's that?
Five strong words. Oh. I just counted them.
All right, I'll let you speak in the fifth. Like, go ahead.
Five strong words. You are going to die. You're going to freaking die.
Let that pause and just marinate for people listening, because it's a reality, man. Death is going to happen. And so I think I know where you're going with this. You know, we, and man, I'm guilty of this myself, dude. I don't even want to put myself, like, sometimes I feel like I major in minor things and I know I'm better than that. And I think we're all guilty to a certain
degree. Same. Yeah, for sure.
When I hear you say we're going to die, I life is too short, man. We can't sweat the small stuff. We have a finite amount of time on this earth. And my belief is that God put each of us here. He instilled talents. And we're meant to win. We're meant to impact people, and we're meant to be a beacon, as cliche as that might sound, right? And I see so much wasted opportunity and wasted talent, and it's because people are chasing the money and they're chasing, you know, the things that are important. Don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, it's the stuff you can't take with you when you die. To kind of bring it full circle to your statement.
100%, man. I agree, man. We're here to serve, man. We're here to love. Like, we're here to bond with each other. Like, and that's something that we're so fucking starved of nowadays. There's no community. There is no community, because we live in, like, and I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, because, like, I could literally talk for hours on this stuff, but we live in a system. Okay. News fucking flash. Wake the fuck up. You live in a system. Okay. We live in a system. It's the money system. Okay. Whether or not there's people in power that are, like, puppet mastering this whole thing, which I think is the case, but even if that's not the case, we still live in a fucking system. Okay. It's 2019. We have all this technology, yet 99.999% of the world, I would say, is spending most of their waking hours doing what?
They're on some sort of.
No. I meant even like bigger picture than that. Like, what are most people, like, what's the thing that most people do when they wake up? Like what are people spending the most of their waking hours doing?
Oh, working.
Working.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't even realize how much of a fucking hamster wheel that is. Right? And so, like, I'm not only taking this from, like, a financial freedom, you know, business, like, entrepreneurial mindset now, I'm actually taking this from a spiritual perspective, and I'm saying, like, look, life is too short for me to spend all of my time doing all this meaningless shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because honestly, I'll be real, like, buying and selling houses, for me, I'm at a point in my spiritual growth where I'm like, it's fucking meaningless. It's meaningless. Now, it can be necessary. It can be a means to a greater happy to be means to a certain level of elevation of, you know, your path. And, you know, it can be used as a stepping stone, maybe as a tool, and for financial freedom. But like, I want to get out of that system as soon as I can.
Yeah.
I want to beat the system, and I want to spend time doing the things that actually matter. Back to what you were saying, hanging out with people that I love, having community, real community. Do you know how many people have real community nowadays, bro? It's like fucking nobody. It's literally fucking nobody. And it's like, I'm literally sitting here, like, I was like reflecting the other day, and on my bed, like, I was just journaling, and like my heart felt for that, because I'm like, dude, there's so many people that are just like fucking zombies, dude.
Yeah,
like they're waking up, they're doing the day to day, and they're not them.
Yeah,
exactly. They're not conscious of like really like what's going on, and so. Like my goals, like one of my visions is to like, first of all, pimp the shit out of that system, right? I'm not gonna be a part of that system, right? So I'm gonna create passive income, create income that's consistent for me, create a business that's on autopilot so that I'm generating income, so I don't have to trade my time for money.
Yep.
And then really work on really things that are super passionate to me in my life. So like, I'm actually, I haven't told a lot of people this, but you know, I'm pretty well known, I guess, in the industry now, real estate industry, real estate investment coaching space. But I don't even want to be there long term, right? I want to really start to help people on an internal level, right? Master their peace, master their happiness, master their self awareness, right? And create a real life of joy, of gratitude, right? Of service, man. And so, you know, that's what I want to dedicate my life to. And so, I know we kind of went on a rabbit hole there, but
that's where the magic happens to me, man. Like, I can tell again your passion, your energy, your excitement level around this. And by the way, the fact that you've discovered that at such a young age, you are going to be able to help and impact so many more people that have no interest in real estate. But we're all human, man. We all have emotions. We all have thoughts and feelings and, you know, family members. And dude, life, it doesn't come with a manual. You got to figure this out, but you got to be willing to invest in yourself, and you got to be willing to take, I hate to use the word take action, right? Because that's so overplayed, but it's the truth, man. You got to.
No, it's the truth. Like, you got to take action, bro.
Dude, it's not going to be handed to you. You have to, like, you're responsible for your life and the results or lack thereof. It's on you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, like I fully believe that self-awareness is at the very least the start of how we're going to change the world, because a lot of people just aren't self-aware nowadays. And so they're just on autopilot, they're just on robotic zombie mode, and that's not doing anybody any good.
Mm-hmm.
And so one moment you really start to dig in there and you really start to understand yourself, you start to live consciously, right? You start to live more intentionally, your life will change. Your life will change, you know? And hey man, I want to revert it back, because I do want to give the people definitely some, do we have a little bit more time?
Yeah, man. Yeah. We got a little more time.
Okay. Yeah. Cause you asked the question, and I definitely,
what did I tell you before we started recording, man? I like to keep these, I don't have scripted questions. I think people feel that. I like to have a conversation and let it happen organically, man. So,
yeah. I love it, dude. Like, honestly, like, this is the stuff that I love to do, man. Like, if I can help people, yeah, right, and delivering messages that really resonate with people and have them actually implement them and actually change their lives, bro, like, I'm fulfilled as, like, that's a fucking successful life, bro.
Yeah.
I'm fulfilled, dude. So that's why I want to get to that, whatever it's going to be, probably like a personal development, like type of movement, and probably coaching events, stuff like that, retreats. Like, I'm going to be doing that in the future, and that's what I'm really passionate about. But to get back to, because I know you asked me a question, I definitely want to answer it.
Yeah, I had asked you, and we can spend just a couple of minutes on this, but from a marketing perspective, and it's kind of, dude, it's a weird transition to go from, like, right? Because check this out. we're talking about stuff that really matters. Yet for somebody listening or for the general population, that might not move the needle because people want the latest and greatest to shine. Like, what's the marketing channel that's working? What's the direct mail piece? What's this? How am I going to make more money? That stuff is important, but not as important as what we were just talking about. So there's no easy segue, but we'll kind of wind it down. Just give some people some tactics that those people listening are starving for from a marketing perspective.
All right.
What are you seeing?
For sure, man. All right. So I'm gonna give you guys some nuggets here for sure. So like I said, with marketing, you want to get what other people aren't. It's still possible, believe it or not, in this day and age. I mean, in this market, right, where we are right now. So you got to think outside the box, right? So let's say you get a list, right, of 5,000 people, you know, 10,000 people, whatever, an absentee list, a tax delinquent list, code violations, yeah, right? One, I'm a big fan of stacking. So stack your lists, okay? So stack your list so that people, so that theoretically, like you'll have a higher chance of closing that. But actually in practice, it really fucking worked, right? Because I did this with a few of my clients and boom, like we saw some crazy results. So stack your lists, make sure that you're refreshing your lists at least once a month if you're getting them from the county, right? So refresh your lists, okay, so that you're getting the new, fresh, hot data fresh off the press. And then you're stacking those. So like you keep your stacks also very current, okay? So that's how you can target. Okay, for sure. So I teach all my clients to hit their hottest lists consistently from all angles, right? You know, I like RVMs and cold calls, right? The higher stack that is, I might single dial cold call them, right? If there's only like 30 people on like a 5-stack list, then I might like single dial.
Really quick, Joe, for people listening that don't know what you're talking about, stack list, we're talking about a software called Property List Manager. By the way, I have an affiliate link, which we'll include in the show notes. But essentially, Property List Manager will allow you to upload a bunch of lists and identify people on two or more lists. So think about if you have somebody on a probate list and a code violation list. The likelihood is that person might be more motivated than somebody that's just on one list. So just wanted to throw that in there for people that don't know the terminology stacking, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, Roberts is a good friend of mine, he's one of my company and great fucking awesome dude, really solid go-giver dude. Uh-huh. And, his software is just awesome. You know what I mean? I was looking for that for years. I was looking for that for freaking years because I was doing all this shit manually. I was handling all the Excel sheets. Well, I wasn't, like the VA was, but I was managing the whole process.
Painful, yeah.
And man, it can get really, really, really confusing. Yeah. And like, you know, like one mess up and, you know, it's your data is fucked potentially. Uh-huh. So, Property List Manager does all that for you with timestamps, with mailer tags, do not calls. You can opt people out. So, Property List Manager for sure if you're not using that, and then that'll keep your cost lower too. For bigger, broader lists, I like to use lower cost marketing, right? So, lower cost marketing, RVMs, right? Cold call, text message as well. Right? I like text blast nowadays, and. And that's lower cost marketing, right? And so for the bigger broader list, I'll do lower cost marketing. And then I may send them a piece of mail, but not every month. I may do that like once every 4 months, let's say, and keep them on a cycle. Okay. So like I have a whole document to where like I plan out all my marketing months in advance to where I am very strategically targeting my lists based on the temperature of the list. Uh-huh. And based on, you know, basically based on like how hot the list is, right? And like I said, my hotter lists I'll hit from all angles. My bigger, broader lists, I'll do the lower cost marketing, and then I might, you know, do expensive marketing, you know, once every 3 or 4 months or so. That way, I'm staying in front of their faces, but I'm also keeping my cost low. Another thing is like what I call the concept of list cycling. And so people respond to different types of messaging. So you want to, let's say, for example, like I have a postcard that says, I want to buy your property, right? Or let's say a letter, right? So that says who you are and I want to buy your property. And then we have a postcard that says third notice, right? What does it say? I haven't heard from you.
I haven't heard from you. I've been trying to reach you.
Yeah.
So I love Chico, man. One of my
with the sad face.
So, man, so before when Chico first came out with that piece, I think I may have been one of the first ones to test it. And so I call him and I go, dude, I got good news and I got bad news. I go, the good news is I got a ridiculous response rate. The bad news is, at least initially, we are getting some pissed off people. But it's okay, man. Well, we did deals, so.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. So, like, you know, the concept of list cycling, or, like, really just cycling in general, is, like, people will respond differently to different types of messaging. So, do you think someone that's going to respond well to a yellow letter, like, do you think that they're going to respond well to this type of messaging, right? And so, like, if it's in a higher priced neighborhood, let's say, you know, a more educated neighborhood, they're not going to like this type of postcard. Yeah. So because of that, you know, you cycle your lists, right? And so, you know, your marketing can get actually really freaking sophisticated. And so that's why, you know, a lot of people have so much trouble with it. That's why, you know, I really, really come in and I teach my clients how to do it.
I love it, man.
And so you're saying, like, inconsistent deal flow, right? So I, like, man, I've broken this business down, like, so much. I've dissected it, and, like, I came up with, like, 13 possible macro factors to what can contribute to an inconsistent deal flow. But the biggest and most important one, you hit it right on the mark earlier this podcast, is inconsistent marketing.
Yeah.
Right, it's like the most obvious one. Like, you got to keep the wheels turning. If that is on point, then you got to look at, okay, what kind of lists am I targeting? Right, you have to look at what kind of marketing channels am I using? Right, you can look at exactly. There you go. The content, the marketing content, is what I call it. So either if it's the content of the postcard, if it's the content of your voicemail, if it's the content of your text message, right? And so that's why I'm huge on tracking. You got to track your KPIs so you can understand what's working, what's not working.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, huge on tracking, right? Huge on tracking everything. So we were able to see trends. And as you start to see trends, then you can, you know, you can dial things back, you can dial things up, and you can adjust your marketing, right? You can turn the dials. So,
if you don't track the numbers, that's where you could be, like, just literally flushing dollars down the toilet because you don't know what's working and what's not, you know? So we don't have to, like, talk about how important KPIs, key performance indicators, and tracking, but just want to highlight, if you're not tracking your numbers, you don't know whether to keep pumping more dollars and double down or whether you need to pivot and shift to a new channel, you know? So.
Exactly. So, you know, and I give all my clients, like, so basically all my clients have, like, I built a, you know, Podio system, and I give them literally everything to it. And that has everything tracked already. It's, like, really freaking robust. It's so awesome. So, but for those of you that have stayed on for this long, I'm going to reward you with more golden nuggets. So, get what other investors are, right? So what do I mean by that? There are certain lists that you can hit. So for example, like, there is an owner-occupied list that you can hit and list source. First of all, not a lot of people are doing owner-occupied. People are very scared to market to owner-occupied for two reasons. One, it's a big list, so it's expensive. Two, it's harder to show an occupied property. I think that's just a mental block. So, and we were able to completely show, you know, occupied properties, you know, consistently. So if that's a mental block, boom, just take action. And it's possible. Okay. We showed occupied properties all the freaking time.
Yeah.
Okay. Two. I already said the second one. So basically what you do is in list source, you know, let's say you get an owner occupied list, right? 20 years of ownership is what I like to do. And then what you can do is when you skip trace that list, now this is an expensive list, but it's a good list. It's a great list in my opinion. So you skip trace the owner occupied list. And when it comes back, like it comes back with updated phone numbers and updated addresses, right?
Yeah.
If it comes back with a different address than the owner-occupied address, and it actually is not an owner-occupied address, it's actually an absentee, but nobody knows that. So that is a small list that was constantly at the top of our highest performers, because guess what? Nobody's hitting them.
Okay.
Secondly, but it's an expensive list, so like you got to have balls to freaking get that list. You know what I mean? Like, secondly, whenever you get skip tracing back, bulk skip tracing, I recommend Smooth Skip. So smoothskip.com. And they're consistently returning like 85%+.
What?
Sometimes I've seen even 95% on a batch.
Hit rate?
I've seen even 97%. Yes. Dude. So it's literally a game changer, changing the game of the whole game. And I have a coupon code. So go to smoothskip.com. My coupon code is ELEVATE, ELEVATE 20, the number 20. Elevate 20. That's going to give you 20 cents per search, but it's going to be higher. I guarantee you it's going to be higher than any other service. Now, the reason it's so high is because they run it twice. They have the ability to run it twice with the property address and the mailing address.
Okay.
So if you get both of those addresses, you're definitely going to get a higher hit rate than anything else.
85-90% hit rate is what they call it, is huge. I want to say the industry standard is probably 60%, roughly, more or less.
I'd say, yeah, 60 to 70 around there. That's industry standard for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I mean, that's solid. And one thing, this is not one of those areas where you want to kind of, you know, go cheap. Like, the data is so important. If you don't have good data, like, yes, what's the point? What's the point of having all this, yes, when you don't have good data? It makes no sense.
100%. So a few things that you don't want to cheap out on is data and people, right? For sure. Don't want to cheap out on data or people.
Dude, to me, it's like buying an exotic car and saying the gas is too expensive, so I'm just going to let it sit in the garage. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You have to. So, like, please pay for good data. So smoothskip.com, the coupon code is ELEVATE20. Okay. So that's 20 cents per search. You got to do 1,000 searches, I think, in order for you to get that. Otherwise, I think it's just regular price. But, you know, it's still like, here's the thing. One, you're going to be way ahead of your competition that's getting 65% or 60%, right? Because you're going to get 20% more numbers, even 30% more numbers. Now, let's say it comes back with 80%. Okay, here's another golden nugget. And if you're, again, I'm rewarding you if you've stayed on for this long. So here's another golden nugget. For the people that don't come back, so you have a list of 10,000, you skip trace it, you get 80% hit rate. So 8,000 people came back with updated addresses and phone numbers. The other 20%, what are you doing with that?
You want to skip
guess
it, right?
Guess who's not hitting that?
Most investors.
Most investors. Because a lot of the data companies use primarily, like, they have, I would say, like, similar data. So chances are that they're not getting hit on those other batches either. So what you can do is you can single search those other, you can try another batch for sure.
I would try another batch of service to see if you get hits on those. I mean, that's what we
exactly. Try. So, but then, you know, the ones that don't come back from there, then you can single search those other ones.
Yeah. Have a VA do that, of course. Yeah.
And exactly. And have a VA do that. And it's going to be that's going to be one of, like, a really, really good list for you to call, because who's not calling that is everybody else who doesn't have their phone numbers.
I like it, man. I like it.
So dude, you got, what's that?
No, I was going to say, man, because I want to be respectful of your time, but this is, people are going to need a shovel, right? We're grabbing up all these nuggets, dude. So this has been a lot of fun, man. This has been effortless. I love the fact that we touched on strategy, tactics. We also got into, like, some of the mindset, some of the spiritual passion. Like, this has been like a really well-rounded show. I think it's going to touch and hit, resonate and hit on a lot of people's kind of pain points and things that people are probably thinking about, that hopefully this episode gives them a lot of clarity on. You've kind of touched on the fact that, you know, you're focused on working with clients. It sounds like you're you're focused on helping people that already have an existing business up and running. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
I don't want to pour fuel on the gasoline, right? They really just want to kind of scale out is what it sounds like.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. I would say my average client, maybe done on the low end has done 10, 15, 20 deals. Maybe they're making 100, 150, 200K a year. Oh. To some of the higher end, like I've worked with people who already had a 7-figure business and just help them explode even higher, you know?
How do people connect with you? Like where?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so two ways, actually three ways. So if on social, definitely hit me up, shoot me a message. I definitely get a lot of messages, but I do very well with like trying to respond to everybody. So hit me up on Facebook, right? I'm sure you're going to be tagging me on here, but Joe Dillon, just search me Joe Dillon. It should be the first one that pops up. And we probably have, some mutual friends if you're in the real estate investment space. And then two, Instagram. So follow me on Instagram, Joe Dillon Official. So JOEDILLON Official. And lastly, I just launched a YouTube channel.
I saw you had a pretty sweet the intro, right? It looked pretty fresh, the videographer you work with. I like it, dude.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, man. Like, I'm not cheap. Again, I practice what I preach, man. I'm not cheaping out on anything. I'm getting the best of the best, right? Because, like, this is my business now, and I want to market myself as best as possible to people who actually really need it, right? And so, and I'm passionate about what I do because my stuff works, right? I'm not selling a dream, right? Because I know a lot of the freaking coaches in this industry, unfortunately, a lot of them don't really have good content. They give very generic advice. Uh-huh. Mine is probably the most specific, the most actionable program that you'll ever buy. And it's literally a game changer. So anyhow, so the YouTube channel, you can just search me, Joe Dillon, real estate. And then you can, you'll probably be able to find me there. Now, lastly, I guess that was three. So, in addition, though, if you can hit me up and, shoot me a message on any of those. If you're looking to get more information on my coaching, and you're probably in that sweet spot, right? Maybe you hit a cap. Maybe you want help delegating. Maybe you want help systemizing, scaling, structuring the business. You want help with the marketing. You want help understanding how to really master talking to sellers and how to really master selling your deals. Then you can go to my website. So it's www.7figurewholesale.com. So it's the number 7figurewholesale.com.
Yeah, and we'll include all these links and your Instagram handle and all that on the show notes page, guys, so you can connect with Joe. Joe's been there, done that. He's helped build the 7-figure business. He's out there now, following his passion, helping people. So highly recommend you guys connect with Joe, man. I really love your energy, your vibe, dude. And keep inspiring, man. Keep doing your thing. Be you. Follow your path, man. And I'm rooting you on, dude.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that so much, man. And the last thing that I'll say, kind of like, I know we talked a lot about real estate, and we got deep, then we talked about real estate. So I want to bring it back real quick. Is guys like, don't get caught up in the day to day, and not realize why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay. Probably the biggest thing that I can tell you is just start to live consciously. And what I mean by that is become aware. Because I think that at the deepest level, that's what we are. We're awareness, right? Our soul is just awareness. But be aware of what's inside you. Be aware of what strikes a chord in your heart. And try to live from those angles, right? Realize why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. Okay. So people talk about your why all the time, right? And I'm going to give you maybe some actionable items to really help you discover that why. And what you can do is like, okay, first of all, you got to expose yourself to a lot of different things, right? A lot of different types of activities, and you got to see what makes you come alive, right? What brings that energy out of you? What is effortless for you that you could do even if you weren't getting paid? Yeah. And so, you know, you find a passion that way, right? But even like keeping that, like, if make sure that you have a strong why for your business, whether that's helping your family, whether it's just making money so that you can get to the next step for financial freedom to help others. But like, plot out your vision consistently. Visualize your vision on a regular basis. I do it daily. And if you're not getting excited about your visualization, then your vision's not compelling enough. It's not strong enough, and it doesn't resonate deeply within your heart.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. When you really identify that strong why, that strong purpose for why you're doing what you're doing, it makes the days a lot more meaningful. Mm-hmm. Even if the actual activities that you're doing, cold calling, running numbers, is not that meaningful.
Yeah, I get it.
So then that way you can, you know, you can live more consciously. You can make your days come alive to you because you understand that it's a stepping stone in the whole process.
Yeah.
So
that's what makes you push when you don't want to push, when you don't want to get up and do it, when you don't want to hit the gym, when you don't want to make that extra call. Having that
one, sure,
purpose, that's what gets you there, man. So, brother,
yeah, bro,
this has been a lot of fun, man. I'm looking forward to this getting released. We went longer than planned, which is a good thing. We might have to chop this up into two episodes, man. We'll see. But I appreciate it, man. So again, guys, we will have all the links and how you guys can reach out to Joe on the show notes page. And I'd love to start a dialogue with you. You know, tag me on Instagram when I post this thing, on Facebook, Flip Empire Facebook group. Reach out to Joe. Let him know that you guys heard him here on the Flip Empire show. And let's start a dialogue. You know, what resonated with you? What connected with you? What one thing, if you had to take just one thing and move it forward, implement it in your business, what would that be? Think about it and don't spend too much time thinking about it. Just do it. And eventually you guys are going to start to see the fruits from that. So Joe, appreciate you, man. I know we'll stay in contact. And guys, I look forward to catching you on the next one. Take care.
Love it. All right, brother. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.